miracles and miracle workers will always attract attention. It was true in ancient times, it's true in our own times. Here in today's gospel, we hear about Herod and his perplexity and curiosity about Jesus. Today's the feast of St. Padre Pio. There was all kinds of curiosity and perplexity about Padre Pio, even to this day. And this is true whenever there's something extraordinary made present in our ordinary lives. You might think, just for a current example or a more recent example, the healing priest, Father Suarez, he died just last year. From what I gather, most people think he had an authentic charism for healing. But they didn't agree with everything he did, so he was in the middle of a lot of controversy. Some bishops would not allow him to do any ministry in their dioceses. Well, this is the sort of thing that comes up all the time whenever there is miraculous events. So in the case of Herod, the first disturbance in his experience was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist did not work miracles. Remember, they said in the Gospel of John, it says he did not work any signs. But he himself was a sign, John the Baptist. He was a sign and he attracted lots of people. People thought he might be the Messiah or that he might be Elijah. Certainly they all thought he was a prophet. Herod, you know the story, had John beheaded because he got in the way of his adulterous marriage. And that's what he says here. I had John beheaded. I got rid of that problem. Now there's another one. He's hearing about Jesus, and people are saying, it's John the Baptist again. So you can imagine Herod saying, not again. It's like pulling up a weed from the garden. You pull up a weed, and then more weeds grow up afterwards. Herod is exasperated on a certain level. But on a deeper level, he's also guilty. And his own guilty conscience is disturbing him. He had John beheaded, even though he knew he shouldn't have. He knows that his own relationship with Herodias is sinful. Now along comes another man of God, another prophet, and it's disturbing his conscience again. Who is this? What's going on here? Why can't I have any peace in my kingdom? It says at the end of the gospel, he kept trying to see him. That meaning he kept trying to see Jesus. Not really. Of course, if he wanted to see him, he could. Jesus was not hard to find. And Herod was the king, and he could have done it if he wanted to, but he didn't. Well, this is it. Miracles and spectacular signs from God, they do attract attention. They do attract controversy, but they don't necessarily move people to conversion. Today we're honoring the great saint of our own times, Padre Pio, Saint Padre Pio, who had more than his share of spectacular signs. The most spectacular of all and the most enduring was the stigmata. He had the visible signs of the wounds of Christ right in his own body for 50 years. So there was no getting around it. This man is bleeding. His hands are bleeding. He himself couldn't hide it. And that was just too obvious a sign. There were other signs, you know, healings and all sorts of miracles, bilocation, prophetic knowledge, reading of souls. But he had the stigmata. Now, that's a very rare spiritual gift. Not many people have received it, and not many people could handle it either. But, you know, it's not unknown. Saint Francis, the founder of the Franciscans, had the stigmata. Well, what do you do with a man who has a stigmata? Well, if you're living in the 20th century, you say, well, this guy's bleeding. I'll take him to a doctor. That's what they did. This man's bleeding. His hands are bleeding. His feet are bleeding. He's got a wound in his side. Something's wrong with him. They took him to a doctor. Doctors couldn't explain it. Why is this man bleeding? Why doesn't he heal? I always laugh at Padre Pio's line, better a mouse between two cats than Padre Pio between two doctors. The doctors love to examine him, painfully enough, and try to figure out what was going on, but they couldn't. It was a miraculous sign. Then there were people who suspected Padre Pio of being a fake. This is true of any miracle worker. Miracles might be from God, but they might be fake. They might be from the devil. It could just be a psychological disorder. And so the church is very skeptical about miraculous signs, especially the very dramatic ones. The church is very slow to say, oh, this is really a sign from God, because the church doesn't want to give acknowledgement to somebody who's fake or somebody who's psychologically imbalanced or somebody who is being used by the evil one. In the case of Padre Pio, he was treated very roughly by the church, by his own community, because they didn't know if it was really true. Well, in the end, of course, because of his holiness and his humility, his humble submission to authority, he was proven to be an authentic. He himself was a sign. I said John the Baptist was a sign. Padre Pio is a sign. What is he a sign of? He's a sign of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Most people who receive the stigmata are not priests. Here's one who he is a priest. He is a sign of the crucified Christ, a sign of the priesthood in action. A priest is one who acts in the name, in the person of Jesus Christ, who makes present Christ through the sacraments. And that's Padre Pio, a very holy man. Well, as I said, just because someone has authentic signs or God works authentic miracles, it doesn't mean that people will be moved to conversion. They could be, like Herod, simply perplexed and curious. And many people were very curious about Padre Pio. And if they were in the area, they would say, let's go see Padre Pio. Let's go see this phenomenon. One of the reasons why Padre Pio suffered from the stigmata, it was painful, but it was much worse that it was visible. He prayed that it would be invisible, because in the beginning his stigmata was invisible. He experienced it and nobody could see it, and that he preferred that. But once it was visible, he attracted all kinds of gawkers, spectators. Well, that was part of his cross. Okay, so a lot of people who heard about Padre Pio or encountered him were not necessarily moved to conversion. Herod heard about Jesus and in the end did meet Jesus, right? In Holy Week he met Jesus. Right before he died he met Jesus. He wasn't moved to conversion. We have an insight into why this is so in today's first reading. This is from the beginning of the prophet Haggai. This is at the time when the Israelites had been allowed to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. They got there, the temple was in ruins, there was a lot of work to do, and they, even though they were at the beginning full of enthusiasm for the project, before long, they said, oh, this is too much. Let's just get our lives in order and we'll build the temple later. They experienced a miracle. What was the miracle for them? That they could go back to Jerusalem, that their exile came to an end. It was miraculous that the pagan kings of Persia even thought that the Jews should go back to Jerusalem. It was a miracle, and they experienced it. But that doesn't mean, and as I say, the experiencing or hearing about a miracle doesn't mean that we will actually change. So they went back to Jerusalem, and then they went back to their ordinary way of life. So along comes the prophet Haggai. Well, the Lord sends the prophet Haggai and says, wait a minute. You're saying that this is not the time to build the house? The Lord says it is the time. So don't come up with your human solutions and your human evaluation of what's happening. I'm the one who's telling you it's time. Build the house. Consider your ways, go up to the hill country, bring timber, and build the house. Put God first, not your own comfort and your own security. Put God first. Not everybody listened to Haggai, but that was the word of God, it was the will of God. We can apply this prophecy of Haggai to our own times. We're in the middle of a pandemic. The church shut down completely all over the world for a while. It's opening up in some places. Here it's barely open. We can have public mass, but only for 10% occupancy. And a lot of people are tempted to say, well, now is not the time to go to mass. Now is not the time to go to church because it's a pandemic and can't go. And it's true, many people cannot go. It's even illegal. And the bishop is telling the people, you know, don't go if you're not eligible. But the attitude, the danger here, is that the attitude can creep in, or now is not the time, so I'll just do, now is not the time to do God's will, I'll just do my will now. That's the danger. No matter what sign, positive or negative, no matter what controversy, no matter what quarantine status we're in, it's never right to say, oh, now it's time for me to do my will instead of God's will. It's time to do God's will. It's time to do God's will. Go into the hill country, meaning lift up your perspective from the concerns about earthly things and discover what God wants. Bring timber, that's the cross. Bring the wood of the cross. Open yourself to the work of God through this pandemic, through this suffering, and build the house. Make a space for God. Make a place where God is first. We do this in our own lives. If we do it, then God can reign in our families. If our families do it, then God can reign in our communities, in our parishes, and He can reign in the midst of this worldwide trial. But the point is, put God first. If there are miracles, let them move us to praise God. Let them, not to distract us or entertain us or just perplex us, but let them move us. Because the miracles in themselves are not that significant. That's why God doesn't give that many, because they don't always have such a great effect on us. But whatever God gives us, accept. The message is always the same. Do His will. Do His will. Perhaps I have this in mind because today's teaching this afternoon is on that line from the Our Father, Thy will be done. So it's Thy will be done. It's at the very heart of prayer, and it's a heart of every Christian life, whether we're experiencing miracles or not. Our prayer is that God's will be done. So let us not put it aside or put our will in the way or be caught up in any kind of superficial distractions. Let's make a space for God. Let's build a house for God. Do the will of God.